Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost, and we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
For more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff. Thank you.
Hello and good evening to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. As always, Chris, a beautiful Thursday evening. How are you this evening?
Well, the bastards ain't killed me yet, much to their disliking, but you know what? I'm up north further than I'd like to be. It's kind of cold tonight, and I'm starting to think that this winter stuff is bullshit, and I'm ready to move on.
I'm with you, man. I'm in Oklahoma City right now, and it's snowy and icy on the ground here, 20-some degrees. I started out in Cuba, Missouri this morning, and, man, the roads are horrible all the way down to Springfield, Missouri, and then they kind of just got wet and wasn't so bad after that. But, man, there was a lot of trucks in the ditch, jackknife, and understandably so, I should say, as I was doing 40 to 45 miles an hour on icy conditions, trucks were flying by me like I was standing still, racing that clock, you know. But that ELD is supposed to save 26 lives a year, so, you know, we got to trust the government. Big news this week is the People's Convoy started their journey across the country. Started out near the Barstow, California area. Stayed in Arizona last night, I believe. Supposed to be up in Oklahoma by Sunday, I believe, they said, and Missouri on Monday. And they'll keep on heading east. I seen somebody donated 25,000 gallons of fuel to the People's Convoy. Actually brought in fuel tanker trucks to fuel them up right where they sat for the night. And I tell you what, that's a pretty generous donation. 25,000 gallons of fuel right now is like giving gold bars. But that's a pretty cool thing. And what those guys have embarked on and started is amazing. And they're getting shown a lot of support on the overpasses and throughout the areas that they've been through so far. And they've got a hell of a convoy started. And this show obviously wishes them the best of luck and the best of success. Originally, I was going to be a part of that. But due to many, 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 many circumstances, I had to back out. Not that I don't support what they do or their movement, and I will not talk down on that movement because I think it's a wonderful thing and it probably needs to happen. And the circumstances that surround my backing out, I won't get into too deeply. I've explained a few of that on previous shows, a little bit, and I'd rather just leave it right at that. But the main part of that is I support what they're doing, and just like I supported Canada, and it doesn't mean that I'm done standing up for freedom by any means, and doesn't mean that I won't be involved down the road here. I don't know. At this point, I'm just not with them right now. Watching the videos and stuff, I sure wish I was, but I'm not. So what do I got to do? I got a voice, and I'm going to use it to support them and ask everybody else to do the same. So, and I wish them, like I said, all the best. I truly do. So what have you heard? Anything, Chris, on your end?
Well, you know, there was an article out there. The media has already started playing their game. And the article, it said something to the effect of, you know, that the American convoy was having a rough start of things, you know, trying to replicate what was done in Canada. And they said that 12 trucks, that only 12 trucks showed up and a couple hundred supporters. And I tell you, my ability to estimate crowds, I guess, must be really clouded because I looked at pictures and video from the convoy, and I certainly didn't realize that 12 trucks, you know, could stretch that far across a mountain pass in the desert. Quite amazing. Trying to figure out where those 12 trucks are going to hold that 25,000 gallons of diesel that got donated. I want to say it's like Rebel Fuels or something along those lines out there in Kingman, Arizona. And mm-hmm. Of course, it also begs the question of if it's only 12 trucks, then why are we deploying the National Guard for 12 dudes that are probably fat and out of shape like me and you? So, of course, it's a bunch of propaganda.
Yeah.
They've had a huge turnout. The overpasses, I mean, just huge. The crowds along the shoulders of the roads, the flag waving, the horn honking, the signs, that the convoy, I don't know how many miles it stretches, but I know the one picture that's out there taken from one of the, like I said, kind of a mountain pass out there in the desert, certainly looks like it extends for miles. But, you know, the media did the same thing with Canada. They said that there was only 120 trucks headed to Ottawa, you know, and, of course, because of 120 trucks, you know, they had to declare a, you know, martial law emergency up there in Canada. So it's the media playing their games. They love to downgrade, anybody that goes against the narrative and make, you know, they're trying to make us sound like a small fringe minority, I guess, down here too, because I don't know. I guess the media outlets just hate freedom or something, but don't have a whole lot of info. I know they're pressing along. I know they are on Interstate 40 right now. Last I saw, they were pushing east, and they were in Arizona. That was much earlier today. Not sure where they got to tonight. You know, the updates, of course, everybody is kind of out there demanding, you know, well, where are they going to be? When are they going to be right here where I'm standing? You know, when you have something that large that's moving along and you're not sure how long those refueling operations are going to take, or even how large that convoy is going to be as it progresses and picks up more people along the way. You know, this isn't like you're running a bus schedule. I don't know, maybe we should have had Pete Buttigieg come in and manage a schedule. I hear he's pretty good at managing bus schedules, unlike, you know, a trucking industry. But, yeah, who knows? But it's hard for him to pinpoint and say, hey, we're going to be right here at this time on this day. So, folks, be patient. The updates are getting posted as they progress along, and there's several pages dedicated to the convoy. Just go on any social media platform and put Freedom Convoy or American Convoy or Convoy to DC. It'll pop up all sorts of groups that you can go to and join where they are going to be posting updates. You know, as far as any random person being able to tell you, oh, you're in Topeka, Kansas, we'll be there at 3:17 p.m. Friday, that's not going to happen. So you're going to have to follow along a little bit.
Yeah. No, and if you're looking for really good information, too, go to thepeoplesconvoy.org. That gives you a lot of information, routes, days they plan on being, when they plan on being there, all that good stuff. So get over there and try to do your best to support them, let's just cheer them on. And if you can't join, there's other ways to support. You can hang flags on your truck. If you can't afford to quit driving, put flags on your trucks. Put signs on the back of your trailers and put, I support the People's Convoy, or mandate freedom, or whatever you want to put. You can support it that way. Just because you can't afford to drive all the way across the country with them doesn't mean that you can't support them. And that's what I plan on doing. I didn't do it today. Simply the last couple of days I've been in really, really crappy weather, and my sign would have been off in about a mile and a half, I'm pretty sure. So throw your signs up and your flags and support them that way if you can't join them. Try to get on the overpasses when you know they're going to be coming through your area. Wave the American flags, cheer them on. Don't be like the MP, the member of Parliament in Canada that said honk, honk is equivalent to Heil Hitler. That crazy bitch up there, she's Looney Tunes, nuttier than a squirrel turd, I say. Anybody that tries to spin this as white supremacy or racist or any of that are trying to feed you propaganda. They're trying to make you not believe in the message they're trying to portray, the message of freedom. Mandating anything, especially vaccinations, something medical, it's not right. And we live in the freest country in the world. That's not freedom. Taking your freedom of choice is not freedom. And I've heard numerous people say, well, most of the mandates have been lifted. I don't give a shit if most of them have been lifted. Not all of them have. Well, there ain't even any mandates in place. Yeah, there is. Try going into Canada from the United States or coming from Canada into the United States. There are mandates on the border, at the northern border, but there is none on the southern border. So if you're an illegal alien, you can walk right across the border and not worry about having to get vaccinated. So my suggestion is if anybody's in Canada and get a private flight out, just fly right down into Mexico there, jump off the plane and walk across the border. You're fine. Come on over. That's the easiest way to do it. These people are fucking tyrants, man. So that lady, again, you know, a member of Parliament says, yeah, honk, honk is equivalent of Heil Hitler. Oh, okay. Nut job. So Justin Trudeau had, you know, convinced the parliament to pass his resolution of the Emergency Powers Act, basically, to have the government take complete control over everything and basically push violence on the peaceful protesters. And that's what they did. They brought in, I don't know who these troops were, but they didn't have no insignia on their uniforms or nothing like that. So it makes you question a lot of things. There was reports of two UN planes sitting at an airport. And then somebody said, well, that's because they fly in and out humanitarian efforts. Okay, but they do them in cargo planes, not passenger jets. So one would assume that some of those troops that were brought in to, you know, go out, and this is just one of my thoughts. Now, don't take this to the bank like, oh, yeah, this the disrespected trucker said it was the UN troops. I'm just saying what I see, all right? I'm not saying that I know this for sure because I don't have no evidence to back that up, zero. So just take that with a grain of salt. but it's a very high possibility that they were. I seen one video where this big dude, and I don't know what the hell he was, like a droid or something. That guy, that son of a bitch was big. And he kind of like started grabbing these guys that were in these green uniforms with no insignia on them and kind of moved them out of the way, and they'd like turn. And he made them look like midgets. And this guy had to have been 7 foot tall and about 4 foot wide and looked like all muscle. And I'm like, holy shit. Now, that's a big son of a bitch here. You don't want to mess with that guy. So if he tells you to move, I would highly suggest that you move. So, you know, progressing now to today or yesterday or whenever the hell it was, Trudeau lifted the Emergency Act. There is no longer the Emergency Act. And they were freezing Canadians' bank accounts. Anybody that supported financially the Freedom Convoy, they're freezing their accounts, going to their homes. The new acting Ottawa police chief said that in the coming months they will hunt down and ruin anybody that supported the Freedom Convoy. And I thought, wow, there's a Fourth Reich tyrannical behavior right there just in that statement. But why do you think that Trudeau lifted the Emergency Act? It's been rumored because the SFs, they were investigating who was donating to the Freedom Convoy. They found out that a lot of their police officers were donating to the Freedom Convoy. The RMCP, you name it. There was a lot of them that were actually in support of the Freedom Convoy. That's pretty bad when your own police departments are supporting freedom over your tyrant behavior. That means you're doing something wrong there, Mr. Trudeau. So so he lifted that. But I want to fast forward into something. this is pretty interesting. By the way, if you guys are listening, we're about 20 minutes into the show. If you're listening and you want to talk, and whether it's the subject we're talking about or you want to flip subjects, you're welcome to do that too. Your voice is welcome, whether you agree with us or you disagree with us. As long as you disagree in a respectful manner, we'll let you speak and say whatever you want. That's the freedom of choice and the freedom of speech, and we support both. That guest call-in number, grab a pen. If you have a pen and paper handy, I'll give you that number right now so you can call in and save it in your phone for next week and the week after. That phone number is 516-387-1733. And when you dial that number and you get through to the switchboard, make sure you press the number 1. That lets us on the switchboard know, hey, I want to talk. I've got something to say. And by all means, you're allowed to say whatever you want. We are completely uncensored. So that phone number again is 516-387-1733. So anyway, moving on with the Emergency Act being lifted, a member of Parliament got up to speak this week and started questioning the fact that Klaus Schwab, the head and creator of the World Economic Forum, was talking about how half of Parliament were part of the World Economic Forum graduated class, that he basically was bragging that he owns half of Canadian government, including Justin Trudeau. And I found out that Merkel from Germany, I think that was, or was where she was at, Merkel, was it France, or wherever the hell she was the ruler. Vladimir Putin, his name was on the list. Jeff Bezos from Amazon, Bill Gates. All these names that have been floating around in conspiracy theories turn out to be part of graduating classes of the World Economic Forum's, whatever you want to call it, workshop or whatever the hell you want to call it. And there's many, many, many people involved that attended the World Economic Forum. And many of those people are in our governments worldwide today. So when you talk about conspiracy theorists and theories, remember, conspiracy theories are only a conspiracy theory until they become true. And we have watched conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory come true time and time again, especially in the last 2 years. So if you think I'm bullshitting you, start researching Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the people that are involved with this guy. You've heard the conspiracy theorists talk about world depopulation. Bill Gates on many videos talking about world depopulation. Well, Klaus Schwab was born in 1938. He is the son of Adolf Hitler's Germany. That is when he was born. He believes in the 1,000-year plan. I got to get to some of this. Give me 2 seconds so I can get to it. I was reading this earlier when I got stopped here, and I just thought, holy shit, man, this guy. Yeah, we're looking at literally the second coming of Adolf Hitler, just different people. So he started the World Economic Forum in 1971, and Chancellor Merkel, I can't remember where the hell she was at. Chris, do you remember where the hell Merkel was? I guess it doesn't matter. You know what Merkel is, but they meet every year in the Swiss Alps, I believe, and they have these. Is it called Davos or Davos? Do you know how to pronounce that?
Davos,
Chris. Davos. Okay.
Davos.
Thank you. Yeah. The first year, the 1993 class, was a success for Schwab. Today, the most prominent members of this class include Microsoft founder Bill Gates, World Bank chief and advisor to U.S. President Larry Summer, and late prime ministers Angela Merkel, Nicolas Sarkozy, Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, Viktor Orban, and Jose Maria Aznar. Numerous names from the world of politics also appear on the graduation list of the next grades in the 94 class. Prime Minister of Pakistan from 1988 to 90, and from 93 to 96. In the 95 class were Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft, and Jean-Claude Juncker, who later became head of the European Commission. There are a number of other prominent names in the 97 and 98 classes, including Amazon boss Jeff Bezos. In the second half of the 90s, Klaus Schwab made some changes. Since then, the management team has accepted not only candidates from business and politics, but also from other fields such as science, media, high nobility, entertainment, sports, and internationally active NGOs. Some famous names among them are Hollywood star Judy Foster, economist Richard Werner, and German TV presenter Sandra Maischberger. In 2005, the forum was renamed Young Global Leaders. And that's where he was bragging about Justin Trudeau being a part of the Young Global Leaders. and members of the Canadian Parliament, the MPs, that he claims that at least half of them are part of the young global leaders. And I'm going to tell you, my opinion on all of this is if we find out that anybody was involved with anything having to do with the World Economic Forum, you like it immediately, let's put it that way, you immediately need to raise a red flag. And you need to look back at their policies. You need to know what they've been pushing and who they've defended. I know some pretty big names in American politics right now that were part of or associated with the World Economic Forum. And one of those names is the newly elected Glenn Youngkin. I know his name has popped up. What was that gal from Arizona that was in the military that was running for president? What was her name, Chris? Do you remember? She was pretty popular down. Yes, Tulsi Gabbard. As her name has popped up as World Economic Forum involvement. I haven't even begun my deep research into this. I'm like basically skimming on the edge right now. But once I get into the deep research and I find out all of the American politicians' names, you best believe I'm going to throw all of them out there. And I'm sure that that's going to be probably a show in itself. But these people, you want to talk about some of their stuff that have you gotten a chance to read up on any of that, Chris? I know you've been busy too, kind of like I have. And I don't know. The articles that I've read so far are absolutely disturbing. I think that's the best way to put it.
I haven't done a whole lot of reading on that this week. I've been taking more of my focus has been on the situation over in Ukraine the last couple of days. But I had been researching Klaus Schwab, months ago when all this kind of got started. And yeah, and it's funny because, the good old fact checkers, the fact that the World Economic Forum is actually a thing, that alone was dismissed as a conspiracy theory, and fact checkers were shutting down anybody that tried to talk about it. But it's not a conspiracy theory. I mean, they have a website and everything, and they're out there, and there's videos of their meetings. The Great Reset is not a conspiracy theory. That is an actual regular topic of discussion at the World Economic Forum. Again, if you dig deep enough, you can actually find videos of the meetings where they have discussed the Great Reset, and furthermore, there's all kinds of other things that go with that, such as, Event 201, for example, that's been dismissed as a conspiracy theory. Again, you can find the link to that website on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation website. So a lot of these things that people are dismissing as conspiracy theory, they're out there hiding in plain sight. They are a real thing, and they are worth looking into, and you definitely should research them, because when you start connecting dots and you realize, wow, there's a certain set of names appearing, all over the place in the news, and they all kind of seem to be working on the same agenda. And how isn't it funny? Because they're all kind of linked to each other through these courses with the World Economic Forum and everything else. So, yeah, that's been the extent. I probably could have done a much better segment on Klaus Schwab about a year ago than I can tonight. But, yeah, it's a real thing, folks. Don't take our word for it. I know I say this all the time on here. Don't take our word for it. Look it up for yourselves. We'll give you the information to run with. You can do your own research. Try to prove us wrong. Please do. I would actually like to be wrong on a lot of things. I'm actually tired of being right. Yeah, I'm like never right about anything good. I'm always right about really negative shit. So,
No, I'm with you. You know, and I forgot, I wanted to touch on that, not touch on it, but talk about Russia invading the Ukraine. So let's do that. We'll get back to the Klaus Schwab thing. But, yeah, so you all know that Russia invaded Ukraine, according to our news media sources. Russia claims that they are not going to occupy Ukraine, but take out their military is all they are looking to do. However, I did see, so I was looking through TikTok earlier, and this girl, this lady had on there a video of strategic sites that had been bombed. And before I get into that, let me just say that apparently they did drop a nuclear bomb. The reports are that one town was completely decimated. I was briefly reading that article, and I ran out of time to dig into that a little bit deeper. So that's just an article that I was reading. I cannot confirm or deny it, but that was out there. Okay, but this TikTok I was watching, and listen, yeah, I get it. It's TikTok, and you know, everybody's got a conspiracy theory, and well, you get your news from TikTok. No, I'm just mentioning what I've witnessed and observed. This video showed sites that were bombed that were biochemical engineering facilities, where reportedly they basically make bioweapons, you know, kind of like COVID-19 or whatever. Now, I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is true, that would be a pretty crazy thing. There's a lot of them, too. I mean, I'm not talking one or two. I'm talking dozens and dozens of them. That would be pretty crazy if, like, Putin was, okay, so his name was brought in with the World Economic Forum, and he knows what the New World Order is. He knows what the Great Reset is. Is there a chance? Now, here's where the conspiracy theory, the tinfoil hat comes out. Is there a chance that Vladimir Putin knows what the end game is with this world, the New World Order? Was he maybe trying to stop this by ruining some of their plans that were in the Ukraine? We know that the Bidens have some pretty deep connections in Ukraine, and so reportedly there's money being laundered by American politicians and Canadian politicians alike, all running through the Ukraine. Is there something bigger going on that we don't know about, that we're not just quite understanding yet? I don't know. Chris brought up something earlier to me, and I'm going to let Chris get into this one, because I did read upon it a little bit, Chris, that, you know, the topic that you and I discussed. About a certain facility that was overtaken by the Russians today, I believe. But why don't you go ahead and get into that, Chris, and let's start asking some of those tinfoil hat questions.
Well, you know, that's the one thing I'm good at, is the tinfoil hat stuff. And it was bugging me because I, for the life of me, could not figure out why. You know, so Russia went in and they took control of Chernobyl. And for those of you that are not familiar with Chernobyl, it was quite the news back in, I believe it was 1986, when it had a huge meltdown, radioactive meltdown. And, I mean, you want to talk about it, that site was extremely radioactive. You couldn't go anywhere near it for 2 minutes of exposure anywhere near the place, and you would die of radiation poison. And to this day, it remains in areas extremely radioactive and unsafe. And I, for the life of me, couldn't figure out why Russia would be so hell-bent on coming in and seizing control of a toxic waste site. It seems strange. And it's not like they just said, hey, we're going to come in and just take control of that. I mean, they fought for it. you know, with tanks and bombs and rockets and gunfights, firefights. And furthermore, Ukraine had troops in place to defend it. Because obviously Ukraine didn't want to give up that facility. And so I sit there and I'm like, okay, why are these guys fighting over a toxic waste dump at this point, basically? How can it be that important? And so I sit there and I mulled it over and I mulled it over. And I started pulling up, doing a little bit of research, looking at some maps and things like that. And when I did that, I discovered something interesting. If you get a map of the areas where Russian troops are, they have either advanced into or they are advancing generally toward, and you lay that map over with a map of all of Ukraine's uranium mines, there seems to be a correlation there with one of those uranium mines being over there in the Chernobyl, what they would call the Chernobyl zone, not necessarily the actual Chernobyl facility, but in the Chernobyl zone, which would make sense that you would have had a nuclear reactor, you know, there close by a uranium source. And of course, I think we think we all know uranium is, of course, used to produce weapons grade plutonium to power nuclear bombs. So I did find that interesting, you know. And then I started kind of looking at the relationship of Ukraine and Russia and the United States and everything. And all I can say is, I don't care if you watch Fox News or if you watch MSNBC or CNN, whenever they let you have TV time over at the asylum, whichever source you're watching, probably trying to blame the whole thing on Biden. The other one's probably trying to blame the whole thing on Trump. That's been taking place on both. And the simple fact of the matter is, this is bigger than either of them. It goes back way before both of their times as president. It goes actually back to what they call the Budapest Memorandum. It was an agreement that was reached in 1994. You might remember back in the day after everybody built up a whole, you know, we had a big arms race and everybody was trying to have the most nuclear missiles in the world. And there was a period there after that, after the fall of the Soviet Union, where we started negotiating a scale back of arms. They started disassembling and destroying nuclear missiles to basically reduce the overall count. And one part of the deal, of course, again, this is after the breakup of the Soviet Union. Part of that deal included countries like the Ukraine and Kazakhstan having to surrender their nuclear missiles, their nuclear warheads that they had in their possession, had to be surrendered back to Russia. Russia, in that agreement, had also agreed to disarm those warheads as a part of the whole process of disarmament. And in exchange for that, there was an agreement made, and the U.S. was in on this, U.K., France, China. Ukraine was promised these other superpower nations of the world would ensure their independence as a nation from Russia. So we've kind of got a treaty of sorts, you know, from, what would that be, 38 years ago? 28 years ago? Help me do math. Yeah, 28 years ago. So we have this treaty of sorts from 28 years ago where all these nations came together and said, yes, you surrender those weapons, get rid of those warheads to Russia. Russia's going to disarm them. And we have your back if Russia ever tries to tamper with your independence again. And now that brings us to where we are today. where now that check is being cashed. They did their part. They turned over their warheads. And now you got Russia invading them and trying to take over, seemingly trying to take over all their uranium stores. I don't know if there's I don't know if there's an issue there where Ukraine is trying to manufacture its own nuclear arsenal and we're trying to stop it, or Russia's trying to stop it. There's more question marks than there are answers, but, you know, outwardly from everything we know, there's just not a real good explanation of why Russia is invading the Ukraine in the manner that they are, that they're not trying to take over the whole country, but they're trying to take over basically everything, it seems, of strategic military value. And that's kind of where I am in the research right now. And I can't find any answers. I don't ever imagine our mainstream media will have an answer. I'm sure they're racking their brains right now trying to figure out how they can spin it to further the division between right and left here in America. But I don't look to them for any kind of honest analysis of what's happening. But it's definitely an interesting situation. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to continue researching before I can maybe, you know, shed some light or give my own really solid theory of exactly why these invasions are happening. But you really bring up some good points too. Is Putin aware of some larger plan and he's trying to stop that? He's trying to be the one throwing a wrench into their plans? Or in this age of awakening, when suddenly everybody's kind of starting to realize that the puzzle pieces don't fit together right, and we're starting to see, you know, the house of cards come down, were there facilities in the Ukraine that held evidence of some global conspiracies that Russia is now going in and destroying that evidence? Who knows? It could go either way.
Trump actually come out and said that the server, some server, and I don't remember which one it was from the last election, was sent. I wish I had this article in front of me, and I don't. But it was a server that was sent to a company in Ukraine, and the FBI has not gotten that server. And he's claiming that server is in Ukraine. Now, wouldn't it be something if this was part of that? Yeah, there's so many conspiracy theories out there, but I don't believe the media anymore. I don't believe our government anymore. I haven't for quite some time now. They spread propaganda and gaslight people so freaking bad that, you know, it's actually alarming that people are still buying their bullshit. And I know people that maybe listen to this radio and be like, oh, well, here we go. He's off his fucking rocker. But honestly, there's so many times that I have proven the fact that the media just flat out lies, or they censor, or they cover up, and they don't give the full truth. It's funny, I was having a conversation with my mom yesterday or the day before, and my mom has always, you know, kind of went with the narrative, kind of like a lot of us have for a long time, and she come across an article where the Ukraine had told the American politicians and media to quit with the rhetoric. It's only causing more division. And my mom said, well, then I went to search because I was telling people about it, and they didn't believe me. And she goes, I can't find it anywhere. I said, all right. She goes, I heard it with my own two ears, and I seen it with my own two eyes, Jeremy. I know. They said that. I said, I see the same thing, Mom. I said, you're not nuts. But she can't find it anywhere. It makes me kind of want to do a quick duck-duck-go search to find that article, which maybe I'll do. But I won't do that right now. Maybe we'll take a break or something, Chris, in between here. Just give us 3 minutes to just get in there. So I was looking at some other stuff about people's theories behind all of this. And I found this article on truth11.com. I've never really even researched them. I don't know if they're real or if they what the hell they are. It's just on truth11.com. So you can go and look that up for yourself. And for God's sake, don't go look up who is truth11.com and then read fact checkers, because fact checkers are such a bunch of phonies. I found through a lot of my research that fact checkers will call something fake or false, and then I research deeper and deeper and deeper and find out that, in fact, the fact checkers were wrong and that this was true. And my question to a lot of the fact checkers is, when they label somebody of spreading misinformation or slander, why aren't these people sued? Why are their articles still out there? That under different search engines, you have to ask that question to yourself. You know, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing out there is like, is that really true? But the more you dig into stuff, the more research you do, it's like, it's got to be true, because it's been out there for quite some time, and they have not been sued over it. Once you get sued over something and it costs you money and it shuts you down, you tend to, you know, take that shit off your site or whatever. So anyway, they're claiming that all of this is having to do with the laying out of AI, artificial intelligence. And, I mean, there's some stuff in this article that are, if you haven't done any research on anything, you would look at some of this and be like, okay, I'm done reading this. This is so far out there. But I've done a lot of research on a lot of different things. And even some of this that I'm reading in here is a little bit out there. Like, holy shit. But, again, they haven't been sued for this. And Klaus Schwab is named right in this. I don't even know where to start, Chris, on this. And I haven't even sent you this article yet. Let me just send it to you right now so you can read it as I start talking about it, because it's frickin' maddening. Okay, so I texted it over to you, Chris. You'll have to take a look at it now. They're claiming in here, before I get into this, just give me a second just to get my mind track right here. If you guys are listening and you want to call in and you want to share your opinion about anything, whether we've talked about it or not, share your conspiracy theory or your truth. I don't care. You're welcome to call in. That phone number is 516-387-1733. And make sure you press the number 1 when you get through the switchboard. That lets me know that you want to get on air. We also do have a live chat feature, which I haven't even checked yet tonight. Sorry about that. But that phone number, again, if you got a pen and paper, is 516-387-1733. And before I get into this article, I see we got a caller that wants to talk, get on air. And a friend of the show, Brian. Brian, I'll bring you on air right now, my friend. And you can let us know what you want to say tonight, Brian. How are you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm freezing here in Wyoming. I heard what you were saying about the notion of Putin trying to stop something. I mean, it's an interesting idea, but I also think that a stripper might just magically appear in my truck. Doesn't make it's going to happen. And what I mean by that, I'm not trying to be harsh when I say it that way, Putin is not looking out for world interests. A lot of times we get things confused because we see Russia as a European nation. And while it kind of sort of is, that's not what their mindset is. They are not a European nation in the sense of their mindset. They are very Asian-oriented in that manner. And I'm not saying either one's right or wrong, but he's very much Russia-centric. He sees the destabilization and so on and so forth in the world. He's trying to grab what he can now before everything is reset, so he's in a better position to be able to say, hey, we have all this territory, so you have to listen to us now. I think that's what's going on. Along with that, I saw something. I don't know how true it is or not, so I don't mean to be challenging out of school at all, but something about China they were found flying in Taiwanese airspace. It very convenient, or rather coincidental, that China and Russia are both showing extreme aggression to territories that they claim are theirs, and they've claimed are theirs since the end of World War II. And they both are starting to do this practically the same day. I think if there's a conspiracy about what Russia is doing, I think it's more with their China neighbors than it is with stopping autonomization and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I honestly, listen, I don't claim to be Einstein. It's just different things that I come up with, you know, through my observation of different things. And certainly one aspect was, you know, what we talked about. But I did also come across something today, Brian, that I thought was interesting, that the Palmer Report, whom I follow, because I want to get the other side's view of things. And he came out today and claimed that this all falls on Donald Trump. This is Donald Trump's fault that this is happening. The reason that Russia invaded Ukraine was Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. And I thought to myself, okay, number one, why is it Donald Trump's fault? Number two, we didn't have any new wars in 4 years that Donald Trump was president, not one. And Russia didn't flex their muscles at the Ukraine, I don't believe, during 4 years when Trump was president. And China didn't flex their muscles on Taiwan. North Korea stopped missile testing. I had to cut your mic off there, Brian. There's too much noise in the background. But there's a lot of interesting theories going behind all of this stuff. So, but I certainly appreciate, you know, your thoughts on that, Brian. And you know, who am I right? I don't know. Am I wrong? I don't know that either. I wish I did. I wish I had the answers, but I don't. But I kind of want to get back to this Klaus Schwab and the theories behind COVID-19. Klaus Schwab writing a book basically talking about world depopulation, where they want to get the world down to 1 billion people. And it'll start in Eastern Europe, European countries, and North America, involving the white population. And their theory was that COVID-19 was a bioweapon, which I think we've already confirmed that it was. And the second part of that was they inflated those numbers on COVID-19 involving any accidental accidents, murders, suicides, car accidents, people that were terminally ill with cancer, anything. Anything was a COVID death for the first year and a half or whatever. And they did that to inflate the numbers to promote and roll out this vaccine and basically gaslit people and use propaganda, which is part of Klaus Schwab's plan, to taking this vaccine that, oh, you get it to save lives, do your part, and made you feel like you're all heroic and a patriot to take this vaccine. Well, now we know, in fact, that this vaccine was created to create spike proteins. Usually, before this technology was advanced, those spike proteins would be created at the point of entry. Now we know that this was advanced, the technology, where it will create spike proteins in major organs of your body, the heart, lungs, the brain, which is why we're seeing myocarditis in massive rates in healthy young men, mainly, not mainly, but in a large number of them. You're seeing blood clots, many, many things that have now been verified to have killed people. I'm going to get right down to where I read this at, and that was part of that before Brian called. That I was talking about how some of this stuff was just holy shit out there. But some of this actually kind of makes sense to me. There is some hackers apparently went into And, Chris, that's the article I just sent you through via text. If you scroll down there to where there's a – the Gateway Pundit is tagged as their source of this information. The newly released military documents contradict Dr. Fauci's testimony under oath. It's all coming out now. The U.S. military's DARPA program released bombshell evidence that the vaccine and fake pandemic was premeditated manslaughter of millions of people coordinated at the highest levels. This is according to that Truth11.com article that I was reading. They're claiming that by April that there's going to be trials, Nuremberg-like trials that will be starting. And I've been watching numerous different things worldwide that you're not going to see on the media, that you have to dig and dig and dig to find, that there's actually a world trial. And I can't remember the let me find that where that, because that's very important that you guys understand this. You guys can go look it up for yourself and see that I'm not lying to you here. It's called it's on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube, and I'm looking it up right now, it's loading. It's a world trial. I think they call it the People's Trial. It's the Court of Public Opinion Grand Jury. I don't know what the hell this is. And it's the opening session of the grand jury preceding the Court of Public Opinion. So if you want to look this up on YouTube, I don't know. You just go look it up. Write this down. Opening session of the grand jury proceeding the court of public opinion. And that'll bring up the grand jury, the court of public opinion. That is pretty interesting if you go read that. And remember, folks, like Chris said, Chris said that, don't take what we say as truth or as, this is the gospel. We give you information to go look for yourselves. Some information we'll share with you, and you can make your own decision. But that's the beautiful part about being an uncensored radio show. And thank you to Unplugged Radio, by the way, for giving us this platform. Because without them, my voice has been chopped in half with the removal of me off of Facebook. But it allows us to get information out there that you guys can go research. And the show gets more and more popular every week. More and more viewers and listeners every single week, because a friend shares it with a friend that shares it with a friend, and all of a sudden they're like, I never heard some of this stuff, but I've heard people actually tell me, I was like you, Jeremy. 2 years ago, I was blind. I didn't know none of this ever existed or anything. And all of a sudden I started awakening up to a lot of this stuff, and it'll blow your mind. And, like my mom, she's starting opening her eyes to some of the stuff that is being done, said, the lies that are being told, the propaganda. I told my mom a while back about, when if this happens, this is what they're going to say, or this is what they're going to do, or I basically gave my prediction of what's going to happen. And she goes, everything that you said happened, Jeremy. Everything that you told me would happen, happened. So I've actually made my mom kind of a believer now. But so apparently a CIA source says that hackers broke into all of the pharmaceutical companies and stole all the medical data on vaccines. So basically what they're saying, the Great Awakening has lifted off. That link is bestnewshere.com. Hackers crack Pfizer, Moderna, Pfizer servers, all vaccine death data. Now public from all companies thanks to hackers. Among other things, the hack revealed that some vaccine batches were 50 times more deadly than others. This supports the idea that insiders were given placebos and safe vaccines, while undesirables were being deliberately poisoned. This sort of evidence is more than enough to justify military intervention to remove corrupted civilian governments and the UN. An NSA source agrees and says public Nuremberg-style tribunals will begin in April. Of course, other sources say that trials have been going on for some time. We also note that reappearance of Donald Trump, who is no longer pushing vaccines, and they quote him, "We're done with the mandates. The mandates are a disaster for our country," he said, arguing vaccine requirements are just absolutely decimating our economy. This is where the stuff gets a little out here, and I'm just going to read it, and you make your own decision. The Trump who is appearing at rallies in the U.S. is actually his double, the one with white around his eyes, around the eyes and double chin. NSA sources say, however, he is authorized by the real Trump to speak on his behalf, the sources say. The real Trump is at the Thule Air, T-H-U-L-E, however you pronounce that, air base preparing for the upcoming military campaign to liberate the United States, the sources added. Asian Secret Society, M16, and other sources say that they support this Trump. The liberation of the U.S. will then trigger the fall of the U.N., et cetera, multiple sources agree. And here is what a Space Force commander had to say about the overall situation. There is a complete system collapse. It has already begun. Afterward, some people will try to go on with their lives but won't be the same any longer. Everything will change, courts, schools, banking, et cetera. The North Korea missile strike, Russian war invasion, CCP invasion of Taiwan, all of this is a show. We also are not under the control of the British monarchy any longer. The Rothschild, Rockefellers, Illuminati pyramid, Bush and Clinton dynasties are all dissolved. The COVID-19 scandemic is unwinding very fast now. Watch Fauci, as this is the key. Now, that's just the article, the part of the article that I read. I know reading that stuff. Those of you that are slowly starting to wake up or haven't woken up at all, and I say some of this stuff, and you're looking at me, you're listening to your ears, and oh, my God, this guy is out there. He is nuts. You know, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things that I started reading at the very beginning before I had my great awakening that I said the same exact thing, that you guys are freaking out of your minds. I've had friends that when I was leaning liberal or Democrat that were Republican diehard, staunch Republicans. We unfriended each other. We didn't talk to each other for 10 years because they were already awakening 10 years ago. They seen what was going on. And it just took me a while. And I finally got to a point where, holy shit, like those things that they were telling me now became true. And then the media, they bumble it, they jumble it, and they censor it. And then I started posting some of this stuff on my Facebook. And then slowly but surely, the fact checkers hit me, and they hit me hard. And then they banned my account for 30 days or a week or 3 days or whatever it was. Now, the last time was when I was an admin for the Convoy to D.C. Facebook page. Me and Brian, Mike Landis and Tony, we were admins on that group. We never posted anything about any QAnon conspiracy theories, anything involving that, or on our personal pages for that matter. But all three of our accounts were permanently removed, and they will not even let us get into try to appeal that decision. It's gone. You're not welcome on Facebook ever again, basically is what they're saying. And they said to Fox News that they did it because we were spreading QAnon conspiracy theories, which could be further from the truth. So now if you listen to what I just, the article that I wrote, part of that article, you would probably say to yourself, yeah, holy shit, that's a pretty big conspiracy theories. But you start digging into stuff, and by God, if some of that stuff doesn't come true. And it, what's weird is before, a conspiracy theory would take 2, 3, 4, 5 years to become true. Now, hell, you read about it, and within months, it's true. And it's like, holy shit, man, we have been lied to for so long and conditioned and gaslit for so long that it's so insane to realize how deep this goes. Politicians worldwide, and I got a pretty good group of that here in this article too. Leadership, the avatars, this week, this article is written on, I believe, the 18th of February or the 18th of January. But apparently, the World Economic Forum leaders were they're promoting an agenda at the virtual Davos, digital persona, AI representatives who will attend this forum include the Prime Minister of India, Prime Minister of Japan, Secretary General of the United Nations, President of the European Commission, Prime Minister of Australia, and what hell, you see what's going down in Australia. They went full communist down there, pretty much like what Canada did. Thank God for a constitution that kind of saved us a little bit here. But President of Indonesia, the Prime Minister of Israel, Secretary of the Treasury of the United States, Vice President of Nigeria, President of the People's Republic of China, Federal Chancellor of Germany, Managing Director of International Monetary Fund, the IMF, John Kerry, the Special Presidential Envoy for Climate of the United States of America, the President of the European Central Bank, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, the Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the NIH of the United States of America. And that some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth on this article is like, you know, they claim that they have CIA sources that say the person appearing as Fauci on TV screens is definitely an AI avatar. So I've seen some crazy stuff in the last, well, since Biden has taken office, especially green screen interviews, fake sets that they use Biden to get on. And some of this stuff is starting to, like, the puzzle pieces are coming together, in my opinion, of like AI, this artificial intelligence. This stuff is advanced, folks. It's more advanced than what you would probably like to realize. And I think it's going to scare the shit out of you when the truth slowly starts trickling out about what is really going on. I know it makes me nervous because I'm just a dumb truck driver. But, Chris, did you get a chance to go through that and just kind of skim it and see, what do you think of some of that stuff being said in that article?
I have a headache.
Oh.
What an article. Wow. A lot of stuff in there. And I'm going to say this. I mean, we are entering an age of warfare that has never existed before in humanity. You know, most of us, when we think about warfare, we're dinosaurs. You know, we think of warfare as being bullets and bombs and planes, rockets, etc. And we're entering an age where you can do more damage than a nuclear bomb with the right software now. Because you can, and I think this is some of the battle that's going behind the scenes. AI is a huge, huge beast that we're only beginning to comprehend what weaponized AI is capable of doing. And it's scary. You know, Elon Musk talks about AI quite a bit, the dangers of AI. you know, before he died, Stephen Hawking was dead set against advancing AI, calling it a threat to humanity. Absolute mistake. Because the problem is when you take AI, and if it ever gets out of control, you're talking about all these microprocessors can think and act a million times faster than a human. They have virtually no limitation on the amount of data they can access or hold at any one time. And if that technology ever gets out or is even weaponized in a really good way, the damage that AI can do, you can't even fathom it. And so I have no doubt there are some cloak and dagger spy versus spy things going on in the world right now that actually probably revolves around control of AI programs. And that article, yeah, the article you sent me, that thing is way too in-depth for me to try to go through and dissect while I'm still keeping an ear on the show and watching the switchboard and all that. But we are entering a scary age, and we have digital warfare now. We have information warfare, propaganda. You know, propaganda back in Nazi Germany consisted of some pastel-colored posters, you know, that showed little pigtailed girls, you know, and doing what was right for Germany, and putting those in public places and getting on the radio and talking. And the information war we have now, the propaganda war that's going on, you already have AI. You've probably argued with an AI program. If you're the type of person who goes on social media platforms and gets involved with, you know, some of the big arguments, you know, over a hot button issues, you've probably argued with AI. AI is now making profiles and going in and working with other AI, what they call them, bots, which literally you're arguing with a computer that establishes a profile, goes on social media, works with other AI bots and their profiles to try to change a narrative. And, of course, a lot of that influence that you see helps, you know, drive that divide that we have, this polarization going. So you start getting into that, and, I mean, we just saw what you can do with digital warfare like they got in Canada, you know, where you declare someone an enemy and then you use technology to go in, cut them off from their funds, freeze their bank accounts, track down who donated to somebody you don't like, freeze their bank accounts, get them fired from their job, starve them. You don't have to show up and boot at gunpoint anymore. You know, you can use all these electronic means now to cripple your enemy financially and in other ways. You know, any card that you have these days with the electronic chips that are in them, and they've got, you know, the navigation systems and everything that connect to the satellite, you can be tracked. There was a study out in, I think it was University of Michigan, this is actually a few years old, where they demonstrated that a hacker was actually able to hack into someone's car and was able to control some of the systems in that car, including acceleration and braking. You know, so it may not have been able to take over the actual steering wheel, but it was they were able to hack in and take control of certain systems. So, yeah, we're entering into a very, very scary age where warfare is going to be very different. At the end of the day, you still have to do some boots on the ground stuff, like you're seeing in Ukraine right now. But prior to that, there are so many ways you can damage your enemy. And I can't dismiss or affirm a lot of these articles because the whole concept, the technology involved behind some of these digital warfare games that are happening right now are so advanced and the capabilities are so unknown that it's really hard to get in and gauge what's real and what's not. And I think that is damaging us as a society as much as anything is the fact that right now nobody knows what's true. Nobody knows who's right, who's lying, who's not lying. We all know something ain't right, but we don't know exactly what's going on. And it's scary.
Yeah, it's – the more I start – like Klaus Schwab's name has been brought up in numerous conversations, numerous interviews, numerous different things that I've been observing through media. And I have, like I said, I have just my research on this guy. And what I'm not even 1% into this yet. I mean, I am just beginning. And what I've read so far about this guy, it gives me chills. It, like, literally gives me chills. Like, this guy, holy shit. His organization, the World Economic Forum, let me just tell you something about the World Economic Forum. They are highly, highly influential people with more money backing them than you and I will ever even imagine having. We couldn't even fathom having that kind of money. We're talking large corporations. One person in one of the articles even said, you know, the demons reside in the depths of hell. And the guy said, that's not true. The demons have escaped the depths of hell and are now running a lot of our worldwide governments. And the name that always gets drawn back to is Klaus Schwab. And every account of what I've read is this is a guy that is basically pushing the Fourth Reich. I mean, the second coming of Nazi Germany, that when you read about the thousand years of rule, it's not so far-fetched to believe that these people really they believe in this, that they're influencing politicians, for Christ's sake, all over the world. He bragged about half of Canadians' parliament, you know, being a member of the World Economic Forum's whatever the hell leadership program that was. You know, on November 9th in 1938, it's a night known as the Night of the Broken Glass. The all-night affair saw Nazi activists loot and burn businesses, resulting in 7,500 Jewish businesses being destroyed, 267 synagogues burned, 91 Jews killed, and at least 25,000 Jewish men arrested. The year 1938 was the spark that lit the raging fires of World War II. This era is considered to be one of the most horrific periods of the 20th century. This singular point in time scarred the lives and world view of many who were part of this historical movement. It is important to understand this period because Klaus Schwab was born on March 30th, 1938, in Ravensburg, Germany. Very little is known about his childhood. The only available information is that his father was a businessman who went over the border to Switzerland, leaving him and his mother alone in war-torn Germany. A young Klaus Schwab grew up and was influenced by these events, especially the notion of borders, destruction, and death. On the other end of the spectrum were Adolf Hitler's aspirations and his desire to take over the world, ushering in the Third Reich that would reign for 1,000 years. As Klaus Schwab grew, he lived in a country that used a police state built on fear and violence, brown shirts and operatives, surveillance, brainwashing and control, propaganda and lies, the merger of government and businesses, eugenics, dehumanization, and a focus on hygiene. And before I continue on to this article, I want you to understand something. The Smith-Mundt Act. It's called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act that was rescinded in 2012 under the Obama administration. The Smith-Mundt Act was created in, I believe, in the early 1940s, essentially deeming it illegal for governments to spread propaganda through media sources. And that was rescinded through the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act in 2012 under the Obama administration. Not that we haven't seen propaganda before that, but I've noticed, looking back now, we have seen a shitload of propaganda since then. So you can look that up, too. It's the Smith, M-U-N-D-T, Act, Modernization Act. I know I've mentioned that numerous times, and I will continue to mention that to educate you folks of that this isn't just black and white. This is a multifaceted. You have to understand one thing to grasp the concept of the next and to understand that the pieces of the puzzle slowly fit into place. And some of the things you research, put it in the back of your head. Like I told my mom, I said, you know, I researched a lot of things, and I just put it in the back of my head. Like, okay, what does that have to do with this? So one thing doesn't have nothing to do with this that I'm researching. But as I continue my research and I go through different things, and all of a sudden I'll come across an article with something that I'd read before. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I read, what the hell is that about? And I'll cross-reference something that I read 6 months ago or 2 years ago. And I'm like, holy shit, now I understand how this all works, why that fits together. It makes sense, okay? So let me just continue on with what I was reading here. Today, Klaus Schwab, he heads up the World Economic Forum and is the Great Reset's driving force. Our next article will dive into the Great Reset, or aptly stated, the bewitching of the 21st century. This one is just exploring Klaus Schwab and who he is. And you can find this at, let me get to it, because I want you guys to be able to go and read this, the Center for Garden State Families website, www.gardenstatefamilies.com, I believe. There's so much information out there if you go to DuckDuckGo. And what's funny is you go to Google and research some of this stuff, and you don't find none of it. Like, it's just not there. But you get over to DuckDuckGo, and boy, you get article after article after article after article stuff. This claims that, you know, Mr. Klaus Schwab's Great Reset Plan, it doesn't mean for this country or that country. It means for the world. They want digital means of, that's how you buy anything, is through digital passports or whatever you want to call it. What do you call that, Chris? I don't remember what the hell you call it, but I think it's digital passports. It works hand in hand with the COVID vaccines. It works hand in hand with everything that they're pushing with these vaccines. And these vaccines have nothing to do with saving you from COVID-19 or, you know, the narrative that they put out there. If you get COVID-19 vaccine and you still catch COVID, it'll be less severe. What a fucking line of horseshit. When have they ever pushed a vaccine ever in the history of the world that said, well, if you get the flu shot, you'll have a less severe flu? Bullshit. That's a hoax too. It's all a bunch of garbage. They've been programming and brainwashing you for so long, so you buy into their future bullshit that they're going to try to sell you. You don't think this shit's been planned for decades, years? It absolutely has. And you don't think that they have technology 20 years far advanced of what we even understand right now? This is happening in stages. They have the plan of 2030, the depopulation by 2030, where they're going to get rid of most of the population worldwide by the year 2030. So if you think 2020 was bad and 2021 was bad, you haven't seen shit yet. You haven't seen the tip of the iceberg yet. Unless we stand up and start going against this shit, this is going to get way worse really fast. And I'll let my mom even come on and say, you know what? He predicted some stuff that would happen, and they came true. I'm telling you right now, we haven't even seen the beginning of what's about to happen to us if we don't start standing up against these narcissistic, evil people. But what happens when they have a world of population and mass numbers of people die off? And their prediction, before I get into this, their prediction is, okay, so they inflated the numbers for COVID to push this vaccine so everybody would be running and standing in line to get this vaccine. Just, you know, I don't want to get COVID because I'm going to die. You know, so they ran to get that vaccine and thinking, okay, I'm safe now. And they told you in the beginning, yeah, you get the vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask no more. You get the vaccine, you can go about your daily life just like it was. You can go right back to normal. Have you seen normal yet? I mean, I've seen states where they doubled down, like St. Paul, Minneapolis. They made it mandatory that if you want to go to a bar or a restaurant, you had to show your vaccine card. The Holocaust Museum in Chicago made you show your vaccine card. Show your papers at the Holocaust Museum, folks. When do you wake up to this? What else has to be proven to you? This. So their theory on this is, so everybody lines up to get the vaccine, right? And you keep on hearing Klaus Schwab, and you hear Bill Gates, and you hear numerous other ones start talking about the next pandemic. When have you even heard about a pandemic in your lifetime? Did you even hear about a pandemic? Did that word ever even come up? Did the word misinformation ever come up? Disinformation? None of it. None of it barely existed before this pandemic, so-called pandemic. So their theory is that, so after you get your vaccine, so they talk about the third pandemic coming, or the next very big pandemic, and they said this one is going to be 50 times worse. And what they're saying is this bioweapon or bio whatever the fuck it is that is going to be released is going to affect the vaccinated at a very large rate and a very high mortality rate, in which case the populations that are highly vaccinated will have a very high mortality rate. And why is that, you say? And if you listen to Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Peter McCullough and Yeadon that actually worked for Pfizer, they're warning people that what this vaccine does, it's not good for your body. And we've seen numerous cases that the media barely covers it. Just recently, two 14-year-old kids from different areas of the country received their second dose of the vaccine and died in their sleep. There's a million cases, I shouldn't say, I don't know how many cases there are, but there's a lot of stories all around this country. And every time somebody says it has to do with the vaccine, they're shut down, they're silenced on social media, they're called conspiracy theorists, they're accused of spreading misinformation. And what scares me about this is the people that are glued to their TVs that have been since the beginning of this so-called pandemic, where they believe the gaslighting and the fear-mongering going on, and they've lived their lives scared to death of what's going on. They're believing that truly is misinformation. And they're like, well, I know all these people that got vaccinated. They didn't die. Well, How many of them are sick and aren't telling you? They got something going on with them that they're not telling you about. Hell, my mom, she, you know, started talking about her heart starts beating fast for no reason. And she blames it on anxiety or whatever, stress related to work or whatever it is. And I said, when did that start? It started shortly after she got vaccinated. One of the biggest signs is heart issues, blood clots in the brain, strokes. Right down the list, right down the line. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that my mom's beating heart is what's causing anything of her fast beating of a heart, but the vaccine. But Jesus Christ, it's not the coincidence is. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about coincidences anymore, if that even exists. What do you want to add, Chris, to any of this? I'm kind of talking in circles, and kind of mumbling. But why don't you bring some clarity to this?
I think the big thing is you got to open your eyes a little bit. You got to start digging for information. You know, 2 + 2 is not equaling 4 in the last 2 years. Something big is at play, it seems. I've never seen such a hard push for vaccination. And, you know, I don't know. If you got street sense, when someone just becomes absolutely adamant and insistent that you do something and that it's for your own good, to the point that they're obsessed about it, that you've got to do this for your own good, you know, you start questioning, like, okay, well, what's this person up to? And, you know, I feel like we're there. You know, we've already, the vaccination rate for the COVID-19, you know, we've already well surpassed the vaccination rate for all the vaccines that we've gotten historically, you know, the measles, mumps, rubella, polio, smallpox, et cetera. We're way beyond that, you know, and here that they've been pushing so hard to, it's like they've been trying to get 100% vaccination, and that just, you know, something doesn't sit right there that they're pushing so hard. So, you know, there's a lot of information out there. Some of it's probably true, some of it's probably not, but something's not right. And you got to, when something's not right, you got to go with your gut instinct and you got to start digging and you got to start saying, okay, what is the picture here? What is happening? And when you start assembling the key players, like you've talked about tonight, when you start looking at the key figures and some of the things that they've said before, because, you know, it's not just something I saw in writing. You know, I saw a video of this, one of the speeches that Bill Gates gave where he talked about how we could, and this was some years ago, how we could reduce the world's population. He backed that up by saying that, oh, well, you know, in poor countries, people have a lot more kids because the mortality rate's higher. So they have more kids. And, you know, the mortality rate would be lower if we vaccinated everybody, and then people wouldn't be having as many kids. It just, you know, it sounded like a really, really thin backtrack, you know, to making a statement such as we can reduce the world's population with vaccines. So I don't know. It's weird. Nothing's making sense in 2022. It didn't make sense in 21. It wasn't making sense in 2020. And I don't know if there's a whole lot of clarity to have out there, unfortunately, on this particular subject.
Yeah, you know, one question I want to ask everybody that really, truly still believes in the narrative, which I doubt we have any of those listeners on this show, because everybody that listens to this show mainly are people that have woken up or or are on the fence and want to just kind of hear what we got to say, maybe. I don't know. But well, let me ask you one question. How many of politicians worldwide and world elite died from COVID-19? How many? I can tell you that number is very, very small. And the ones that have passed away, unfortunately, seem to be the ones that lived in states that were that were blue states. And this is just an observation. I'm not trying to point my finger. I'm just saying that lived in blue states that were conservative politicians. I believe one out in Oregon or Washington State, I can't remember which one it was a conservative politician that was against, you know, the COVID measures and talked very publicly about, you know, against all of this, and he passed away. But we found out that there are treatments that they have been withholding, including ivermectin, including hydrochloroquine, many different treatments that have been proven over time now that actually do prevent hospitalizations. And I just read that number here somewhere, too, and it's a very high number of prevention. I want to say it's like 78% of prevention of hospitalization when somebody took ivermectin very early on. I have numerous friends that were prescribed ivermectin human tablets that they picked up at a pharmacy, and within 12 to 24 hours, they went from feeling really shitty to out in their shop working. That's like how fast that ivermectin works. Oh, shit. I'm just sitting here on the radio show, and I just watched a guy wipe out the ice. He got up, though. He's okay. Good Lord almighty. And he's a plow truck driver. Oh, anyway, sorry
so
about that.
So he fell a long way.
Well, he was walking past his plow truck, and, like, he slipped right into his plow and fell down. Damn, that looked like it hurt. But I want to say I gummy walked all the way across his parking lot up to the truck stop earlier when I first got parked, because it's like an ice skating rink in his parking lot. And I wouldn't be doing any high stepping here, because you're going to wipe out and break your ass. This is Oklahoma City, man. It's 28 degrees down here. That's not right. It's the only reason I do this run is so I get down to the warm weather and get out of the Minnesota winters. You know, Chris?
That didn't work out.
Right now.
What were you saying, Jim?
What'd you say there, Chris? No, I said that's where you're at right now is Minnesota. You're at in Minnesota in the cold, and I'm down in Oklahoma City in the cold, and I want to get out of the cold, and I was like, whatever. We just can't seem to win. But I kind of went off the subject of ivermectin and stuff. We've been talking about it for, you know, Klaus Schwab, and we've, I don't know, we beat the drum of ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and other treatments for so many episodes on this show. I know it gets old to some people, but honestly, I feel like it's our duty to keep on spreading the truth and knowing that, you know, some of the very few people that are spreading the truth, Joe Rogan and numerous other people that actually have the balls enough to step up and speak the truth, get shut down and censored by social media and other avenues. Look at, like, Spotify offered Joe Rogan so much money just to walk away from Spotify, and he said no. I mean, good for him for not selling out. He got $200 million to be on Spotify, by the way. That's amazing. That's huge. I'll just put my offer out there to Spotify right now, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. We will do it for $100 million. But you notice that people that are speaking out against the narrative are being silenced rapidly. And honestly, these are crimes against humanity for the simple fact that they are withholding viable treatments for COVID-19. They've allowed people, I shouldn't say be, like the one doctor that I was on a Zoom with, a very, very well-known doctor, he didn't say that they, you know, were allowed to die. He said they were murdered. That was his exact words. And these people know what they're talking about, man. And if you've had a loved one or somebody die of this, they were murdered, plain and simple. I seen a guy ask on a TikTok too, if you or anybody you know have had a vaccine injury from this COVID-19 vaccine, please comment below. That was a very fresh post and he already had over 1,200 comments, and I started going through them. I only went through about 100 of them. And the stories I heard in there about people's cancer coming back, they had leukemia, were clear as soon as they took the vaccine, leukemia was back, cancer was back. People dying, healthy people of dying of heart attacks, blood clots, myocarditis. Now they're expected to have 6 months to live because they need open heart surgery. The numerous comments I seen were, it was disturbing and horrible. This is very real, folks. You're being lied to, and I'll just put it out there plain and simple. The government and the media are all lying to you. By the way, we've got about, I don't know, we've got a few minutes left. If you want to call in and share your thoughts and opinions, you're more than welcome. That phone number is 516-387-1733. 516-387-1733. And when you call in, just make sure you press number 1. That way it makes us lets us know that you want to talk. I was expecting a call from my friend in Canada, a friend of the show, Paul. I don't know, he must have missed the show tonight or he got busy doing something else. I talked to him for, I don't know, a good 25 minutes yesterday, 30 minutes. And he had some interesting updates about what's going on in Canada and interesting thoughts. But I'll make sure to get to contact him next week before the show. I sent him the link last night. Maybe he didn't think his computer was working or something. I don't know. Maybe he thought it was last night. But anyway, I'll get a hold of him and next week before the show, make sure he's on so he can sure give us some updates from Canada, Iowa, because we always appreciate that, coming straight from Canada. What they did up to those people up there, in those peaceful protesters, and what the media painted them as, and some of those MPs up there in Parliament, talking about them being racist and white supremacists, just pisses me off. And that's what our politicians do here, too. It's all a show. It's all political theater to cater to their base. They've convinced you that, you know, people that think differently than they do or than you do are racist. Those that go against, you know, Black Lives Matter are racist. And honestly, we're not against Black Lives Matter. We do believe that Black Lives Matter. We believe all lives matter. But we also know the corruption within Black Lives Matter organization. So you, before you start blindly following along, you know, throwing your fists in the air and claiming that you're for racial injustice or, you know, solving it, you better do some research and understand who exactly you are supporting. You know, they're buying million-dollar homes with the money that has been getting donated to them. They're bailing criminals out of jail. I just don't understand the mindset. The fact that Susan Rosenberg was actually convicted for bombing the Capitol in the 80s, was pardoned by Bill Clinton, and then went on to be the head of fundraising for Black Lives Matter. They literally have terrorists in charge of their fundraising. Why is that?
I mean, there's something to be said there. I mean, they don't talk about her at all. I mean, here's someone who actually bombed the Senate chambers in an attempt to kill Republicans. They got pardoned by President Clinton at the end of his presidential term, his second presidential term, who then becomes, oh, and she was also tied in with Bill Ayers, who was a part of a group that was running around burning down and bombing military recruiting offices back in the 60s and 70s. And then she becomes the head fundraiser for a group that is admittedly a Marxist organization, Marxist as in communist, and promotes the idea of leading a revolution to overthrow the U.S. government, to bring in a Marxist economy and a Marxist system. And she's there fundraising while they go out and literally commit violence, murders, and burn buildings down by the thousands from coast to coast. But there's nothing said about her being a part of that organization. There's no mention of terrorists there. But if you honk your horn in Ottawa, you're a domestic terrorist. I mean, it.
Yep, Heil Hitler. Yep. It's fascinating to me. It's scary to me that one of the co-founders of BLM also is said to have ties to George Soros. She has an unnamed father. All they would say is where her father was from, and that he's very, very wealthy and influential. The ties go back to George Soros. So it's being said that BLM is being funded by George Soros. Now, again, this is just us with some of the research that we've done. We can confirm that Susan Rosenberg did bomb the Capitol. We can confirm that she was pardoned by Bill Clinton. We can confirm that she was in charge of fundraising for BLM. We can confirm those things. Those are not lies. Those are not conspiracy theorists. Those are true. The George Soros tie, I cannot confirm that. That is just something that it leads back to with one of the co-founders. And I don't have that information in front of me. So you'd have to go and research that for yourself and look it up and dig deep. But what people need to realize, and the point I'm trying to get to, is just because your government or your media tells you something, it doesn't mean it's the truth, it's the gospel. Just because I say something doesn't mean that it's the truth or the gospel, unless I tell you that we can confirm this, and like I just did. The rest is up to you. To don't be lazy. We've become such a lazy society. We don't want to research anything. We'd rather just, you know, we'd rather watch, you know, Touched by an Angel and not worry about what the world does. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. Okay, that's true to a point. But the world would be a hell of a lot different if every one of us spent at least an hour a night digging deep into certain subjects that we heard today on the 5 o'clock news or the world news or whatever it is, and maybe try to understand some of this stuff, especially this COVID-19 pandemic. When that was said to have started in China and bam, it hit the United States, all of us were like, holy shit, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. You know, we were a little bit scared in the beginning. But as time went on, we started doing a little bit of research and stuff wasn't adding up. It's like, things started to make sense a little bit. So you guys, if you have called in and you want to get on air, please press the number one. That makes me know that you want to talk. And I'll get you on as soon as I see that hand raised on my switchboard. Just so you know, I appreciate your guys' calls and your points of view. It all means something. Your point of view might be different than ours, but it also gives people a different perspective, a different voice, a different a view of what the world sees. You know, especially our Canadian friends. I guarantee you a lot of these Americans, they don't watch Canadian news. They believe what they see on their mainstream media that. Well, not all of them, but some of them, like, oh yeah, those are a bunch of racist truck drivers, and in Ottawa. I actually listen to MPs, whom a lot of them I follow on Twitter now, by the way, because I want to keep up to date of what they're saying. But a lot of them said, you know, that was the most peaceful protest I've ever seen. The police chief in where the hell was it in Canada? Not from Ottawa, though, obviously. That guy, that acting police chief, is a freaking tyrant. I think it was Ontario, talked about how he supported peaceful protests and, you know, to please do things the right way, and that it, what he witnessed was nothing but peaceful. And, I mean, there's very encouraging words from highly influential people, let's put it that way. And that's needed right now. Doctors, lawyers, politicians, law enforcement, you name it, you need to stand up right now and let people know what you support. The time for hiding behind stuff because you're scared of backlash from the left, who become violent when you disagree with them, that time has ended. They're ruthless, by the way. They will hack into your accounts. They will share your phone number all over social media. They will try to get you fired from your job. They harass you. They will do everything in their power to ruin you because you share a different opinion than what they do. They're not good people. They claim that they're against fascism, but they are the very definition of what a fascist is and does. I don't go after people that share a different opinion. I try to educate them with the facts that I have, the knowledge I have, and through hopefully understanding dialect and a little bit of a compassion to understand, so they can understand that, you know what, I'm not here to call you a dumbass. I'm not here to do anything other than this is what I know, and this is where you can go to research it, and then go to research it. You might just change your mind and be like, shit, man, I've been following the wrong people for a while now. People are so strung up on there and held up on by their beliefs and their feelings. Well, I feel like this, or I believe that. Why do you believe that? People don't even know why they believe what they believe anymore. They believe what they believe because they've been told to believe that. They've been influenced to believe that by power, money, propaganda, gaslighting, fear-mongering, people that are evil people. That's why you believe what you believe, mostly, mainly. But, Chris, we got 6 minutes left. Why don't you give your thoughts, your final thoughts of how things, what you're thinking, and we'll just move on with tonight's show, and we'll really dig deep for next week's show, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm going to be monitoring the situation with Ukraine very closely. For quite some time now, I've been keeping an eyeball on the seeming cooperation between Russia and China. And I kind of started watching a little bit closer back, I think it was 2007, when China developed a satellite killer missile, which they launched, they tested it, they actually took out one of their own satellites. I guess it was an old satellite, and it was time to take it out of orbit. So they came up with this missile that was strictly designed to intercept a satellite and strike it in such a fashion that it obliterates the satellite. And that test was successful. And there wasn't a whole lot of news coverage about that. There wasn't a big conversation. I'm sure we were distracted by some sensational leftist nonsense at the time, but I remember looking at that, and I was really concerned with it because I realized, you know, most of our military technologies are driven now by satellite and global positioning systems, and that's what gives us the accuracy we have on most of our weapon systems. So when I saw that, I'm like, okay, China getting ready to go to war with us, or at least being positioned to go to war with us. And it was kind of funny because at the time I was going through flight training, and I was having the conversation with him, and I was talking about that whole development, and I made that prediction then. I think it was 2008, and I said, I said, yeah, you watch. Within a decade, we're going to have some sort of space patrols just to protect our satellites in orbit. And, you know, he thought that was pretty crazy. And then, of course, in 2018, you know, here came the Space Force. And because, yeah, we do have a vested interest in protecting military assets that are up in orbit in outer space. And but I started watching then, and then I think it was 2009. At the same time, China and Russia were both caught trying to hack into our electrical grid. And I, that really alarmed me that they were both doing that at the same time. Here you got two very powerful communist countries seemingly working together, and I started getting concerned. And we've played this game of cat and mouse with China and Russia kind of flexing their muscle at the same time. You know, a few months ago when China first started flexing their muscle against Taiwan and kind of testing their limits there, testing the waters to see what kind of reaction they would get from the U.S. At the same time that happened, you know, Russia decided to fly a few jet fighters near the Alaskan Air Defense Identification Zone, which is kind of a provocation, a probe to kind of see what kind of response you're going to get. So there's been a lot of China and Russia testing the waters with the U.S. at the same time going on for a while. And, you know, a couple of years ago I was talking about the possibility of China and Russia working together to maybe take some sort of action against the United States. And of course, people thought I was crazy and what the hell does that have to do with the virus? You know, but now here we are. Now Russia's invading Ukraine. You know, China's kind of flexing towards Taiwan again. This would be the time for them to make that play. I don't think, you know, we could, you know, fight off China and Russia in those two different locations at the same time with everything else we got going on. So besides that, we need all of our military back at D.C. to defend against the 12 truck drivers that are heading there. So it's an interesting world. I'm just going to keep watching it unfold and hope that everything turns out well, I guess would be the best thing I could say there. But, yeah, we'll definitely be doing a whole lot of digging for material for next week's show to report back on what's not being reported to you in the mainstream news.
Well, to add to that, at 6:19 p.m., the White House released a statement to let us know that the first act inside of Ukraine by the evil Russian Vladimir Putin was to, in fact, burn all of Burisma's business and banking documents. That sounds like a big-ass cover-up to me, doesn't it, Chris? We talked about some of these conspiracy theorists. Okay, we've discussed that. Is Russia really the ones attacking them? Is it being influenced by the United States, by the Biden administration itself, to cover up shady business deals in the Ukraine and stuff that could bury a lot of people? Is this? We don't know, because the media lies through their frickin' teeth about everything. But it's a very interesting statement by the White House to say that the first thing that they did was burn all of Burisma's business and banking documents. to be continued. I'll just say that. So look forward to next Thursday night, because I'm going to dig deep and deep and deep into this shit. We're going to get to the bottom of a lot of stuff, including Klaus Schwab. I'm going to dig a lot deeper into him. So thank you guys for listening to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. We love each and every one of you that listen and support us. We couldn't do it without you. And please share out our links wherever you can see it, on Facebook, Twitter, Getter, wherever you see it. You guys all have a great night, and God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.